All right, welcome, Bethel Church family. No matter where you're watching from, it's so good to have us all together. And well, let's face it, there's nothing really like us all being together in one place, but this is kind of the second best thing. And we are all together in spirit and heart today. And we are so proud of our Convoy of Hope partners that are compassionately serving our world and specifically feeding hungry kids all around the world. We've been a part of this ministry for many, many years as a church. So this year, we're making a little shift in how we do that. And just a little update, by the way, that ministry has grown a lot over the last couple of years, and a couple of those stats were outdated. And right now, Convoy of Hope is in 18 countries around the world, and they're serving over 200,000 children meals every single day. And what an exciting thing for us to be a part of. Listen, church, this is not a time for the church to be shrinking back. This is a time for the church to be moving forward. Last week, I read about a church that made a $1 million commitment to Convoy of Hope. And I just thought, wow, good for you that in the midst of this economic downturn, the struggles that people are having, as a church, you decided, we're not going to shrink back right now. We're going to move forward. Don't mistake. Church, don't make a mistake about this. We are in a battle, and it's not just a battle that has to do with coronavirus. We're in a spiritual battle. But Jesus said this. He said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against us. So this is a time for us, church, not to shrink back, but to move forward, including things like the Feed One program, ministering to children all over the world. And next Sunday, I know Pastor Ben already mentioned this, man, moms, you are heroes. You have always been heroes, but right now, you are superheroes. Because moms have always been, you know, not only mom, you've been doctor, you've been, chef, you've been teacher, and now a lot of you are doing that in just bigger ways. So in our small way, we want to next week say thank you. And we thought, what better way to say thank you to moms than coffee and chocolate? So next Sunday from noon to 2 o'clock. This week, we're continuing our series called I Got This. And what we've been doing in this series is reminding ourselves that God is a good God, He's a big God, and that He will always give us whatever we need to go through whatever we're going through. So last week, we started talking about this beast called anxiety. And we recognized that on some level, every one of us to some degree, we're gonna face this beast called anxiety. But with God's help, we are going to be victorious. And we want you to know today that God loves you. No matter what age you might be 10 years old, you might be 100 years old, God loves you. Maybe you've got a religious background. Maybe you don't have a religious background. God loves you. Maybe you're a person who's tried to live a pretty moral life all of your life. Maybe you're a person who can look back at your life and you got a few regrets. We want you to know, no matter what your life has been like, God loves you, He cares about you, and He cares about every aspect of your life, including your physical well-being and your emotional well-being. So we're going to continue to go after this beast called anxiety. Now, last week, we looked at a passage in Philippians chapter 4. Turn with me there. We're going to be there in just a minute. Philippians chapter 4. And we gave you four weapons that God has given to us in order to be victorious over anxiety. And I just want to bring back one nugget from last week, and that was this: turn every worry into a prayer. Turn every worry into a prayer. Because what we tend to do with our worries is we tend to think about them over and over. We ruminate on them. And the more we do that, the bigger they get in our lives. And so we need to make this conscientious decision that when we're faced with worry and it starts to creep up in our lives, we can just turn that thing around and we can turn it into a prayer to God. This is going to change the way we do life. It changes how we think about things. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about that a little bit more. Philippians chapter 4. Hopefully you're there. We're going to begin at verse 8. Verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think. Underline that word, circle that word, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And here's the promise. And the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. So apparently, with the help of God, it's actually possible to begin to take control of our thoughts, right? We can't always change our circumstances, but we can change how we think about our circumstances. And in this passage of scripture, we're challenged to take control of our thought lives, all right? And so here we are, weapon number 5. Promised you this last week. Weapon number 5 in our battle against anxiety, moving from anxiety to peace. Weapon number 5 is this: recalibrate your thinking. Recalibrate your thinking with God's help. The Bible is full of so many promises and principles that have to do with our thought lives. It must be important. And I just want to take us to one of those. This is a key principle in Scripture. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there are established patterns and tendencies that we have to fight against. And it feels like we're swimming against the current. And the reason it feels like we're swimming against the current is because we are swimming against the current. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are to be nonconformists. That's what it says right there. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. So as Christians, we're going to have different values. We're going to have different views. We're going to have different priorities than the rest of culture. We're going to speak differently. We're going to behave differently. We're going to parent differently. And it all starts with thinking differently. So we're not to conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Key word there, transformed. This is the same word in the Greek that we get our word metamorphosis from. So that's a big scientific word, metamorphosis. Let me give you the definition of that word. And I was amazed when I looked this up, not in a Christian kind of dictionary or like a Bible encyclopedia. This word in a secular dictionary is defined this way. A change, metamorphosis, a change of the form or nature of a thing or person into a completely different one by natural or supernatural means. Wow. This is what happens when Jesus comes into our lives. He renews our mind. He transforms our way of thinking. Now, why do we need to have our thinking renewed? Why do our minds need to be transformed and renewed? Well, in order to understand that, you got to go clear back to the Garden of Eden and remember what happened with Adam and Eve. And the interesting thing with Adam and Eve is they were seeking more knowledge, but what really happened was they lost their God-given innocence. So their thinking actually became darkened. Now think about Adam and Eve. Before they rebelled against God, they had a perfect life. And the Bible says that God walked with them in the cool of the day. How cool is that? How awesome is that? During the day, they got to go on a walk and talk with God, right? And so that's before the fall. And they have no anxiety. Like on a scale of an anxiety scale of 1 to 10, they're a 0. There is no anxiety in their lives. And then they rebel against the command of God. They lose their place in the Garden of Eden. And when they lose their place in the Garden of Eden, they lose this cool relationship they had with God. So think about their life now. Now they have stress, anxiety, and fear that they're facing in the world. But they've got no one to take it to because they've destroyed their relationship with God. God still loved them, but they walked away from God. So think about that change, and that change has been handed down now from Adam and Eve through generation to generation to generation. So the Apostle Paul, looking back on all of this, the spiritual history of the world, writes in Romans chapter 1, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God or gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So that's what it looks like when we leave God out of the picture. That's why there's such a need for transformation in our thinking. But then Jesus comes into our lives, and we go from death to life. We go from darkness to light. We go from despair to hope. We go from anxiety to peace. We go from brokenness to wholeness. And Jesus begins to renew our minds. Now, this word renew is found one other time in the New Testament, and this is so significant, I wanted to read it to you. This word renew is also found in the book of Titus in the New Testament, chapter 3 and verse 5, where it says that God saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal, there's that word again, by the Holy Spirit. Now that's significant. We need to understand that this renewing that God does in our minds, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's supernatural. Because we tend to think, well, we just need to try harder. We just need to work more at this thing, right? But the first move we need to make is not working harder, but surrendering more. Recognizing just how much we need the Lord and saying, God, I've been trying to fight this battle on my own for too long, and I'm just digging the hole deeper. So God, I'm going to reach out to you. I'm going to let you come and renew my mind. So our first move in all of this, if you want to have a renewed mind, is to pray and ask the Lord to bring renewal to your thinking. In fact, I just feel led this morning that we should do this, just pause right now in the middle of this message. Right there in your living room, right there in your car, if you happen to be driving when you're watching this, don't close your eyes. You can pray without closing your eyes. I want to pray for you right now, and let's just ask the Lord. You might even want to, you know, take your hand and just put it to your head and say, Lord, I want to have a renewed thinking. So let me pray for you right now. God, this is a promise from your word, God, that you will renew our minds. I pray for every person that's watching, every person that's listening. I ask, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, you would do something powerful, supernatural in their minds, that you would begin restoration and renewal in their thinking, in their hearts. God, that they will bring that focus back to you, God. We thank you, Lord, that you are not only the healer of our bodies and our spirits, you're the healer of our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah. What I want to do at this point is I want to have us consider several shifts that God wants to make in our thinking. And in all of this, we need to cooperate with what God wants to do. So I'm going to share today seven shifts that God wants to make in our thinking. Okay? And all of this is aimed at moving from anxiety to peace in our lives, all right? So shift number one is this. We're going to move from a downward focus to an upward focus. Move from a downward focus to an upward focus. It's amazing how many scriptures encourage us to lift our hearts up, to look up. The Bible says that God is the lifter of our heads. We're encouraged to look up to the heavens, right? we're encouraged in the New Testament to lift up our hands, to raise our hands in praise, okay? To lift up our prayers. So it's all about shifting, making the shift from looking down, a downward focus, to an upward focus in our lives. And that changes everything because it changes our perspective and it moves us from anxiety to peace. So no matter what you're going through, I want to encourage you today, let's start looking up. Instead of looking down, let's look up. Let's look up to what God has for us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. This is such a powerful, powerful promise. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. So Lord, help us make that shift from a downward focus to an upward focus, all right? Second shift to make in your life is this. Move from a victim mentality to an overcomer mentality. One of the important shifts that we need to make is to make the decision that we're not going to take on a victim mentality. We're not going to take on this idea that we're just defeated and powerless because these are lies from the enemy. We have power to overcome through Jesus Christ. So rather than play the victim card, we're going to take personal responsibility in our lives and we're going to take a hold of those weapons that God has forged for us in order to fight our enemy and to be victorious, right? So just write these verses down. I'm going to read them. Just write these scriptures down. Romans 8:37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, for everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 says this, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Ephesians chapter 6, in Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul gives us all of these weapons of our warfare. These are spiritual weapons that we fight and we're victorious. And I'm not going to talk about all of them, but I'll mention two of them. One of them is the sword of the Spirit, which Paul says is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So this is how we transform our thinking. We have biblical thinking. We let the word of God shape our hearts and shape our minds. And then another weapon that Paul talks about there is the helmet of salvation. So what does the helmet protect? It protects your head, right? It protects your brain. It protects your thinking. So in the spiritual context, it's protecting our thought lives from those flaming darts of the enemy who wants to bring discouragement and doubt and despair and anxiety to our lives. We build up this helmet of salvation so that God can help us protect our thought lives. So we're going to move away from this victim mentality into an overcomer mentality because that's who we are in Jesus Christ, all right? Move number three that we're going to make, we're going to move from Adam-like thinking to Christ-like thinking, okay? Adam-like thinking, that has to do with our old self, our old nature, the fallen nature. And now, because of Jesus Christ, we have this new nature. It's a gift from the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to start thinking Christ-like thoughts. Well, what does that look like? Well, go back to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And the principle here is this. You are never going to overcome negative thinking by just trying to stop negative thinking. The way you overcome negative thinking is to start having some positive thinking in your life, right? Fill your mind, fill your heart with the good things of God. So that's quite a list. It's quite a list. What a great filter this list is for the books we choose to read, the shows we choose to watch, the music we choose to listen to. Let me give you that list again. True, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. All right? We need to focus on those kind of things if we want there to be any kind of renewal in our thought lives. You know, when the wrong stuff is coming out, whether it's in our words or our actions, our attitudes, our thinking, if the wrong stuff is coming out, we need to start asking ourselves the tough question, where did that come from? Where did that come from? What am I feeding my spirit, right? And so we need to start feeding our spirit Christ-like things so we will have Christ-like thinking. So we're going to move from Adam-like thinking to Christ-like thinking. Move number four. Move from an inward focus to an outward focus. From an inward focus to an outward focus. What does that have to do with anxiety and peace? Well, honestly, for a lot of us, the reason we are given to so much anxiety is because we're self-consumed. We're thinking about ourselves too much. We have an inward focus. So we're always asking ourselves the question, how does that affect me, right? And we're thinking about our troubles, our problems, even our failures, our mistakes. And when we're constantly doing this self-analysis and beating ourselves up and ruminating on what's wrong, we have this inward self-focus. And what we need to do is we need to get out of our own heads a little bit and start focusing, rather than on ourselves, focusing on others. Right? Start praying for other people. I mean, it's okay to pray for yourself, but start praying for other people and their needs. Look for ways to serve people. And sometimes that takes creativity, and we all serve in different ways. We all have different strengths, but think of ways that the Lord would have you to not just self-focus, but to serve other people. Get out of your own mind. Get out of your own thought life. And start looking outward. Start serving others. This is one of the reasons we do this feed one thing and things like that, is because not only, you know, are we going to benefit because some hungry kids are going to get fed, but we're going to grow as we get outside of ourselves and think about people in other places of the world that don't even have a meal. It gets us outside of ourselves a little bit. So move from this inward self-analysis, move from inward thinking to an outward focus, all right? And then number five, and this kind of goes along with number four, move from criticism to grace. From criticism to grace. Because as we have a servant mentality, that's what we're going to do. We're going to start thinking with less criticism of others and more grace. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 18, and this is the epilogue to the book of Galatians. It's the last verse in the entire letter. Paul wrote this, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Brothers and sisters, amen. Be with your spirit. In other words, grace is not only a gift that we've received, it should actually impact who we are. Let it be with your spirit. Be with your spirit. So grace is a gift from God, but it's also a gift that we give to other people. It should permeate who we are, and it will begin to affect how we see people, how we treat people. It will begin to affect even our countenance and our body language. It will affect everything about us. Let the grace of God so permeate your spirit that you start and more like Jesus. Move away from criticism, having a critical spirit of people, and start moving into the grace of God. Recognize that God has been so gracious to you, and He loves others just as much as He loves you. He really does. And so show that same grace of Jesus to others. Yeah. And it will begin to free you up. It will help you move from anxiety and being bound up to being open and full of the grace of God. Move from criticism to grace. Move number six is this. Move from a this world focus to a kingdom focus. And one of the most freeing reminders that we can give us that will help ourselves when it comes to anxiety and stress, we need to remind ourselves that this world is not our home. Now listen clearly. I'm not saying that what we do in this world doesn't matter, because it does matter. It matters a lot. So I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm just saying it's not the end goal. This world is not the finish line for us. We need to move from this world focus to a kingdom focus, and that will bring so much freedom from the stress and anxiety that we carry with us in this world. We should do everything and view everything in our life with the end in mind. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13 says, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope," all right? We're talking about our thought lives. "Set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming." Listen, folks, all of the signs are there. They're there. As I understand scripture, they're there. And Jesus can come back at any time. And how sad it is for the person who has invested all of their life in the things of this world, because the things of this world are going away, and the only things that are going to last are the things that have to do with the kingdom of God. So start to just let go. Let go of those things that are stressing you out that have to do with this world, and take a hold of the things that God has for us, the kingdom of God. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 4 says, "Say to those who have an anxious heart," great promise, "say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God, and he will come and save you." So this is what we look forward to as believers. Move from anxiety to peace by taking your focus off of this world and placing your focus on the world that is to come, the kingdom of God. And then number 7, this is the last one we're going to talk about today, right? Renewed thinking. Move from defeatist thinking into nothing is impossible with God thinking. Now, there's a great story behind this principle, and it's back in Numbers chapter 13, and this takes place as the Israelites, they're about to go into the promised land. God has delivered them from bondage in Egypt, and for the last year they've been traveling and they've been getting ready to go into the promised land. But before they go in, Moses sends in 12 spies, one from each of the 12 tribes, to spy out the land. Now, they were to bring back a report about what the land was like. They weren't sent to bring back a vote about whether they should go in or not. God had already decided that. They were supposed to go in. But they seemed to think that this was a mandate for them to come back with a vote about whether they should go in or not. And sadly, 10 out of the 12 spies voted no. "This is too big for us. It's too much. We can't do it." Numbers chapter 13 and verse 32. "And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, 'The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw are of great they're of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak who came from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them.'" Now, I would say that this really qualifies as defeatist thinking, right? They gave up before they ever tried. They were defeated in their mind. Now think about this. They've seen God deliver them from bondage in Egypt using a number of supernatural plagues against the Egyptians. They've seen the Red Sea part, and they walked over on dry land, and then they saw the Egyptian armies get swallowed up by the Red Sea. They've seen God provide manna from heaven. They've seen God bring water out of a rock so that the entire nation would have water. They've seen all of these things, but somehow in their minds, they've decided, now this one is just too big for God. It was defeatist thinking. And it would wind up costing them the promised land for the next 40 years. They would wander in the wilderness because they refused to go in and take hold of the promise of God. Now, there were two people that didn't think like everybody else. That's what we're called to do. We're called not to think like everybody else. We're called not to have defeatist thinking, but a thinking that says there's nothing that's impossible with our God. Now, these two men were Joshua and Caleb. And so here was Joshua and Caleb's response down in verse 6. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephthunah, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said, the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land. A land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Now listen, these guys, they weren't practicing some kind of, you know, Tony Robbins, you know, mind trick, Jedi mind trick. They weren't just thinking we're going to overcome by positive thinking. They recognized that there was giants in the land, right? They admitted that. But at the same time, they said, yeah, there's giants in the land, but our God is bigger than that. And I want you to know, no matter what giants you're facing in your life today, yeah, they're real. I get it. I believe me, I have some I'm up against too. But I always come back to this, no matter how big those problems are, I serve a God that is bigger and greater. And there's nothing that's impossible for our God, nothing. And so I want to agree together with you today that no matter what giants you're up against, God is with you. God is going to be the one who stands with you. He's on your side, and you're going to overcome through Jesus Christ. But don't give up before you try. Don't be defeated in your mind. 40 years later, Joshua and Caleb, they're going to be standing in the same place. They're going to be on the shore of the Jordan River, ready to cross over into the promised land again, 40 years later. And the Lord comes to Joshua, and he gives Joshua this great promise. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, and we're going to close with this. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, I'm very, very familiar with this passage of scripture because Janice and I have adopted this as a theme verse for our marriage. And this scripture in bold letters is placed predominantly above our fireplace. So I read this scripture every single day, several times a day. It's become a theme verse for us that we're going to refuse to give in to discouragement. We're going to trust the Lord. We're going to be strong and courageous. Whatever God calls us to do, we're going to be willing to attempt it because we know our God is bigger than every single giant that's in the land. And I want to encourage you with this promise today. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You know, the devil wants you to feel discouraged and defeated and anxious and fearful. But God wants to breathe new life into you by the power of his Holy Spirit. He wants to put that wind in your sails. He wants to encourage you today and strengthen you today. He wants to bring that spirit of courage into your life, that spirit that says there's nothing that's impossible for God. So I'm going to ask our worship team to join me on the platform right now. And I'm going to ask each and every one of you, if you'd right now, just bow your heart before the Lord, because I want to pray for you. And as we begin this time of prayer, the first thing I want to do is extend an invitation. If you happen to be watching today and you've never given your life to Christ, and you know that you're going through some battles, and right now you need God's help, I want you to know that even if you haven't been thinking about God, God has always been thinking about you. God is for you. He loves you. And even if you haven't loved him, God has still loved you. And so right now, I want to give you this opportunity to pray to receive Jesus Christ into your life. Or perhaps you've done that at some point in your life, but you know today you've kind of drifted, you've wandered in your walk with God, and today would be a day for you to come back, for you to turn around, do an about face, and say, Lord, I've been doing this on my own for too long. I know I need you in my life. If you want to truly move from anxiety to peace in your life, I'm here to tell you, it all starts with Jesus. It all begins with Him, looking to Him, recognizing that these battles you're facing, you're never meant to face those on your own. Jesus said, come to me, you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. So I want to encourage you today, come to Him, come to Him. And if you want to give your life to Christ today or recommit your life to Jesus, I want to lead you in a prayer right now. Pray along with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, I bring my life to you today. Every fear, every worry, every bit of anxiety. God, I need you in my life. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for me, and I believe you've risen from the dead. So Lord, thank you for your love. Today, God, I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of trying to do things on my own. And forgive me for excluding you and walking away from you. God, today I open my heart to you. I surrender my life to you. Come into my heart. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Now, Father, I want to pray for those that are struggling with anxiety in their life, with fear in their life, with excessive worry. God, all of these things, they serve only to weigh us down. They fix nothing. They only make life more difficult. They weigh us down. And so, Lord, right now, we just take those burdens and fears and worries, and we take them off of our shoulders, and we set them at your feet where they belong. We were never made to carry these things. And so, Lord, we consciously right now choose to have a shift in our thinking. And instead of looking down, we're going to start looking up. We're going to look up. Lord, you promised that you are the lifter of our heads. You promised us peace. It's a gift from you. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we bring you our lives and our burdens and our worries and our fears, and we give them to you. Amen and amen. God bless you, church.